Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
No, I don't mind at all. Welcome in on this Tuesday afternoon. 2:01 on the clock.
Yeah.
The gang is back together for a good four-hour show ahead. Lot to talk about. Including the Padres finishing off 18 straight games in 18 days.
Yeah.
They go 10-8, which I think at the beginning of that journey you would have said, I'll take it. Padres played just a little bit better than 500.
Yeah, 10-8 was good. Absolutely you take it. The only problem was the Dodgers didn't cooperate, right? I mean, once they got everybody back healthy, they've been ridiculous, and they put a hurting on the Diamondbacks over the weekend. So, you know, just look at the good news. The good news is the Padres, you know, moved ahead of the Diamondbacks now, and your game up there. And, you know, I think you get a little rest here. You're getting some troops back. I mean, not only does Fernando come back yesterday, but Darvish going to pitch tomorrow night. So I think the Padres are well set here for the final, you know, 4 weeks of the season, Tony, and, you know, finish strong and see if the Dodgers stumble a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Padres, things remain the same. You got healthier. You want to keep playing good baseball. They had some clunkers in that 18-game span there, but I think that's expected when there's no off days in there and you're trying to manage a bullpen. A couple starts got away. And I will bring up the Padres hadn't gotten a five-inning start out of a starter since the previous time Joe Musgrove was on the mound.
Oh, so Joe, my goodness.
That was something to keep an eye on. You don't want to end up having to use that bullpen too much, and that's going to be incumbent on the starters. Certainly getting Yu Darvish back in the fold, I would think, helps. I mean, certainly he has the pedigree to be an impact player.
How many other teams in baseball are adding a number one starter with 4 weeks to go in the season?
There are none.
So, yeah, it should be great. I got to be honest with you, Tony. I don't get nervous about individual Padre games very often. Even in September, maybe the playoffs, I get a little on edge. But I was nervous yesterday. Why? Because Fernando came back. And you know darn well, if they would have lost that game, we would have had to hear from people who said, see, they're not as good when Fernando's on the team.
Silly.
And I was like, please don't make me have to deal with that today. You know, the people that say that are the same people that say it'll be better to, you know, lose the division and not have a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, it's just stupid thinking to add one of the best players in all of baseball and think that you're going to be worse. So, you know, the only thing that was a little surprising, Fernando didn't hit two home runs in his return.
Right.
You know, he's usually really good when he comes off the injured list. But, man, what a scene that was, Tony. I mean, to run out there, I mean, it was like opening day again.
That's what it reminded me of. Reminded me of opening day.
Yeah.
I happened to take my son with me to the stadium yesterday, so he got to spend the whole day, and he got down there. He got to see Toddy, got to meet him, got to meet his favorite player, Jackson Merrill. And the one thing that I couldn't get out of my head was the smile that Fernando had from the moment he walked into the door.
Yeah.
I mean, even as all of the media starts to flood around it, because typically for a player, that you don't get that same look when all the media starts to flood your locker. You get kind of like the, oh, bleep, here we go, kind of look on your face.
Yeah, here
but
they come.
He didn't have that. And, you know, I think that's a large part to do, because I think what a lot of people don't know is being injured is hard. Like, I know we see them just chilling in the dugout, eating sunflower seeds, they're getting paid. But it sucks to be injured, and especially when your team goes on a run the way the Padres did and you're not a part of it. You have to sit and watch. And don't get me wrong, you're happy your team is winning, but you also want to be a part of what's going on. You feel disconnected from your team. You're not traveling. You're in Arizona, for crying out loud. It's why you're getting right. Your teammates are playing baseball. And so the joy that he had coming in the locker room, knowing that he was going to play, was something that stood out. It didn't necessarily go the way I'm sure he wanted it to go in the first game, but team got a victory. He got through it healthy.
Just to be back out there, a lot
to be excited about.
Yeah, man. Everybody who doesn't think Fernando is a big factor. I mean, just look at the energy that he brought to the rest of the squad.
Yeah.
And everybody said so after that game yesterday. So, and can we just no?
What's the?
But
other
I'm going to try to put this to bed.
What other thing we got to put to bed?
Please stop telling me that Luis Arraez, because you read analytics, is not a valuable member of the team. I mean, what does the guy have to do, like, almost every game? Two hits, driving in runs on a day when nobody else could hit. He gets two base hits that drive in the first two runs of this game. The guy has not struck out now in 90 at-bats.
Yes. This is his third streak like this.
Yeah, or something like that. He has had two strikeouts total since the All-Star break. Twice he struck out. He puts bat to ball. He gets the game in motion. He gets the team going. He is my all-time favorite weapon to argue against analytics, those which say he is not, you know, a positive player for your team. I just ask everybody else on the roster. Right. That's all you got to do.
Right. I mean, listen, it's at this point, it doesn't look like everybody else. You know, he got a base hit single through the right side, base hit single through the left side. That were the two runs the Padres needed. I mean, they blanked them, but they didn't get very much offense. Two of the three runs came from him.
Yeah, no, he's every time. He's pretty much every time.
Did you listen? The
second hit that he got, Tony. I mean, I don't know what it looked like from where you were sitting, but from the center field camera, there was two strikes. It was down and in. It was on his shoe tops. I didn't see as he started to swing at it. I go, this is finally going to be a strikeout. He can't get his bat to that ball. Yeah. Only he got it to the ball, and he hit it in the right field to drive in the run.
First of all, I hate to use the word stupid, but sometimes pitchers just aren't paying enough attention, right? They shift him over with the infield in, right?
Yeah.
On that play. I think, what was it, runner on second, runner on third?
Runner on third, yeah. Right, up 1-0, 1-0 game.
They shift the runner over. He goes two heaters away. He fouls him off. He stays away again. What does he do, 0-2? He tries to throw the sinker down and in.
Yeah.
Where is his defense at?
They weren't there.
They're on the other side.
They're on the other side of the field.
You were throwing to your defense the first three pitches, and then the fourth one, you tried to get cute, and you got cute with the best hitter in baseball. Like, it's mind-blowing to me sometimes that no matter what the stuff is, just not paying attention to what the game is.
Can you say that one more time about your description of Luis Arraez there? I believe you called him the best hitter in baseball.
Can the
analytics people grasp this?
No.
They can't.
Because it doesn't.
It's just absolutely one thing after another. Well, his WAR is this, his BAPIP is that. He doesn't walk. He doesn't steal. Now he's even stealing some bases lately.
Yeah.
He has been so great to watch. Even if it's true, even if you could somehow convince me it's true that he doesn't help the team or doesn't have value, I don't care. I still like to watch him come to the plate and bat because he's unlike any other player in the league.
No one like him, and it's because he's chosen to be the best version of himself. You know, he is not getting caught up in the numbers. And listen, some of these guys, sometimes it works in your favor to be – it's in your skill set. It's in your toolbox to match up with all the analytics. But some guys don't have all of those tools to be the prototypical analytic player. Whether we're talking about WAR, like he doesn't, you know, say what you want. Luis isn't the best defender, right? So
I'll tell you one thing: when he needs to come up with a play, I've seen him come up with it
100%.
This year, Tony. I haven't seen him box too many important ones. He's missed a few for sure. But, you know, when the chips are down, he's come through almost every
you
time
saw,
over
you
there.
You saw what Kevin Cash did with second and third. He didn't even waste
and
him
he
on.
He brought up Jerickson, even, and we know what Jerickson's done with the bases loaded
this
care. Year.
He didn't care. So I just...
Yeah,
Padres got a lot of good things, man. I mean, Manny is
Manny's been Manny, and I'm so
man.
I owe him every apology, and I'm apologizing on behalf of the rest of you that are listening, who are thinking the same thing we all were saying for you in April and May, because here we come. He's going to get the 30. He's going to get the hundo. He's going to hit 275. His defense has been better than it ever has been before, which is saying something because
he's
he
older.
Had a pretty high level,
right.
But he's been in the middle of this run, you know, and look, the addition of Fernando does a few things. One of the things it did is it gave Jerickson a day off. I mean, you could tell he's been swinging like a rusty gate. He knows it. And he hadn't missed a day since June 22nd. That was the day that Fernando went on the injured list.
Let me tell you, man.
So, you know, they needed to get him a break. Now he gets 2 days off. I think he gets fresher. It means so much in every way.
For the folks who can't see chemistry and why it matters, it's a great example. You know, Jerickson was I don't know if criticized might be too strong, but he was questioned in his bunt attempt. What was that in Tampa, I believe?
I remember that, sure.
It didn't end up working out. I know it was in St. Louis. It was the last game in St. Louis. It didn't end up working.
Oh, he moved the runner to third, right.
Moved the runner up, moved both runners,
second and third. The analytics said that they only improved their win ratio by 1% because of that.
First of all, you the idea that he bunted because he wasn't swinging well.
That's why
and
he didn't.
And he was willing to admit that. How many times have we seen in the past a guy not be swinging well, take the swing anyway because he wants to be in
and
that
And then make an out that doesn't help you
a
at all.
Double play lines up, and now right. You got the – I mean, in reality, he gave you two shots with Cronenworth and Machado.
Yeah.
Up against – Hensley, who is the best.
He threw a crony about a 99 and a half mile per hour sinker that no one would have hit.
No, and then, I mean, he was on it, and you tip your cap on those days. But I brought that up to say that is where this team is. He had full faith in Jake and Manny to get that done.
And he has the full respect of his team for being willing to sacrifice in that situation, even though it didn't work. I want to say one thing more about Profar, because I still think it's his magic season, Tony. And the only way it's going to be a magic season is if it finishes that way, and he still can do that in September if he gets hot again. But I don't think any of it has affected his defense at all. I mean, he's not a gold glove defender, don't get me wrong. He's still out there making diving catches. He's still making throws. I don't think he's taking any of this hitting out to the field with him. And it's all part of the winning, you know, formula for this team. Yeah. So Jerickson can play and start any day. You know, he's been slumping for a while, but I think Mike Schilt understands his importance, and
I think everybody
does.
Understands his importance.
And Musgrove, I mean, comes off the injured list and has not been touched basically for five starts.
Pure dog.
I mean,
this dude is just he.
Wow.
I don't even know what else to say about him.
I think that I heard you and Jesse talking about this weeks ago, but he kind of changed how he pitched a little bit, right?
He did. Yeah. In order to alleviate...
In order to not get injured again.
Right, whatever he was feeling. And for most guys, that's a big...
That's like a swing-changing goal.
Right. Like, take apart your mechanics, build them back up in a different way. For most guys, that's a big task. For Joe, who... You know, I think, as he explained to me, kind of does this throughout the season anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know he did that.
This is something that kind of just was part of the process for him. And I think, more importantly about Joe, he enjoys that part of it. Like, it's like a guy who likes cars and, like, taking them apart, putting them back together. Like, that's kind of like Joe, man. Like, he enjoys the technical aspects of it.
Most guys are like me. They'd never have lifted the hood before.
Right.
I don't even know what's under there.
Right.
I don't want to know.
I took apart my engine on the Prius and tried to fix it. Yeah, but it was a cracked...
I think the
manifold, which I cannot fix.
Yeah, see, I'm like Chris.
But I got down to the point where I saw the crack.
I lifted up the hood. but I couldn't tell you, you know, where nothing.
I stopped lifting up the hood the old days when you had to check how much oil you had left. Now that you don't have to really do that anymore.
Could you guys change a flat tire?
Could I?
I probably could.
Under the all-time duress, yes, but I wouldn't attempt it. I wouldn't attempt it.
You know what? Your car's tires are heavy, too, so I can imagine Chris having a really hard time. And I'm not saying that because...
I had a flat a couple weeks ago, I told you.
Oh, that's right.
I went right to the tire store.
Well, that's why you got AAA, don't you?
That's why they have that stuff.
Got that car.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, just back to Musgrove, we had him on, Tony, you know, on our Friar Friday, right when he came back, and he was talking about all of the changes he was making, and I was thinking to myself, I wasn't going to say anything to him, but I was thinking to myself, boy, this really sounds like quite an undertaking right in the middle of the season. Like, what are you doing?
I'm not going to lie.
But it sure is working.
Having been around pitchers before, I knew what he was saying, and that's not an easy thing for most people to pull off, but clearly he's done a fantastic job. I mean, his breaking ball looks disgusting, and he's blowing fastballs by dudes, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with how it's coming out of his hand now, and he's just been phenomenal in his you know, short stint back. We didn't even talk about Jackson Merrill, by the way. I mean, this dude is player of the
month. How's he doing this
rookie
year?
Of the month again. I mean, this guy is he truly is listener, you know how I feel about talking about the rookie of the year and all that, but it does feel like there's some separation happening right now.
The odds are telling us, too.
Are we the only ones that are seeing it? Hey, the odds makers are seeing it, but I'm still seeing Paul Skeen's name at the top of a lot of lists.
I think that's just wishful thinking at this point.
I think it's rage bait, which is what they did last week. Bleacher Report does this all the time, where they put out their
rage
top 10.
Bait. Yeah. Oh, and it gets you to rage and click on it.
Yeah, then they want Padres fans to be like, are you kidding me? Paul Skeen's is at the top?
It's a very smart move.
Engagement rate goes crazy.
If you're dealing with Padres fans, it is a great move.
Yeah, you know, just if you see any Padre fans, just tell them Paul Skeen should be rookie of the year. That'll get them going for about an hour and a half.
Probably will. So. And then I'll just show up out of nowhere and keep arguing for you.
Yeah. All right, we're off to a good start. We're already doing bad things. We're well beyond the time we need to be. Let's get to break. When we come back, I think there's more Padres in store. We got Matt Snyder later in the 2 o'clock hour. Got to talk about the Aztecs. Started off slow.
I went to the game, Tony.
But took off there at
I
the
end.
I
was there.
A lot of good things. NFL season kicks off next week, I believe it is. We are getting...
this week?
How about Thursday night, Tony?
Yeah, Forgive me.
It's been 18.
Yes, he's been in a radio booth for six straight months.
I barely know what day it is, honestly.
How did you make it out of the dungeon of Tropicana Field?
It was a dungeon, too. It was a dungeon. God-awful. Yeah. All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of.
And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. We got a good one for you today. Four full hours. Everybody in studio, Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, the Odyssey Palace Studios. And tomorrow, quick reminder, Scraby and I, Tony's going to be down at the ball game, of course. He'll be on the show, but he will not be able to join us as Scraby and I head out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Mira Mesa. It's a brand new Buffalo Wild Wings out there. It's at 9690 Reagan Road. We're going to be giving out three pairs of tickets to the Padres-Astros game, which comes up in a couple of weeks. You'll want to be in line to win those. And how about this? Buffalo Wild Wings is going to be signing people up tomorrow. 10 lucky people are going to win free wings for a year. So you definitely want to come by tomorrow. We're broadcasting live between 2 and 5:30. It's in Mira Mesa. I don't know. Take the 15, Mira Mesa Boulevard.
Basically,
go west.
Yep.
And when you get to Reagan Road, you'll get the Buffalo Wild Wings. We look forward to seeing everybody out there tomorrow and win some tickets out there. Tonight is our fantasy football draft. Scraby begins defense of his fantasy football championship, something I never thought I'd say.
Champ is here!
Yeah, and that is still the name of his team.
Well, it will be all season long.
We'll be excited by that. Tony is the commish.
Who's been on top of it this year.
And he never found a reason to take your title away from you last year.
There was no reason. It was
I tried.
I bet you he looked over some things. I couldn't come up with anything.
Through the bylaws.
Bylaws, everything, yeah. But we'll see. That's kind of, we're excited about that. I'm sure a lot of people are having their fantasy drafts.
I have three
either
tonight,
yesterday
Chris.
Or today. Yeah, yeah, it's a big fantasy football draft day. So good luck to everybody in their fantasy football. Like, who do you think is going to be the top three or four picks, Graby, tonight?
CMC.
Bijan.
CD Lamb. Maybe Bijan. Or we already said Bijan. Who am I thinking of? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He seems
high.
To be moving up.
He does.
Breece Hall.
I think receiver. Oh, Breece Hall.
Breece Hall's another biggie.
I think the show receiver.
I think I have three, right? I'm the three pick, right?
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second.
Chris and I
were talking about this last week. Feels like you and Braden always get top five picks.
Nah.
Feels like Braden gets the number one pick every single year.
Do you feel like that, Chris? Last two years I've gotten lucky.
I don't really care about the pick order. You picked 12th last year and you won it all. So I think it sounds fun to pick first. And it would be nice to already know that I'm going to get CMC, and then
right. But then after that,
it doesn't really help your team that much. After that, I'm in the middle. You know, so we'll see. But I will say Tony gets a good pick every year.
Number three.
But I don't hold it. I know that he does everything fairly because he sends it out in a video format on my phone. It develops right in front of my eyes, so I know he's not.
I mean,
doing anything nefarious.
If he really wanted to fix it, he could, but I don't believe he's fixing it.
I have no desire to fix it.
He just said he doesn't know how to change a tire.
Right,
he's not going
right,
to be
exactly.
able to fix that.
Exactly. Not only that, I haven't been able to fix it enough to win it.
Yeah, right. So it hasn't mattered. But, yeah, Braden's picking
That's
first.
That's a good point, Tony.
My wife's picking second, Tony, so you're going to have to deal with her. And then you have the third pick. Anyway, we'll get into that. Our NFC preview is coming up, by the way, in the 3:30 segment today.
Lots of craziness in the NFC West.
We're going to start taking a look at our picks to win the divisions. And some of the breakout players and big disappointments in the NFC as our football preview starts today. We're excited about that. I did go to the Aztec football game. We'll talk more about it later. But for one half, man, I wouldn't have wanted to be Sean Lewis. I got to be honest with you. I mean, Tony, they had 3 points. They were losing to a Division 14 school.
And I didn't get to see any of the game.
Yeah,
so
it was 6-3 at halftime.
What changed in the second half?
Well, I was going to say that they stopped committing penalties, but they really never did. They were called for 16 penalties in this game. And I don't need to mention that. Sean Lewis knows that he's going to have to get that fixed. It seemed like every play in the first quarter there was a penalty. The young quarterback was hyped up. He overthrew some open receivers, maybe 5 or 6 guys he just overthrew. Second half,
he settled down.
Mm-hmm. And I think what honestly happened, Tony, I think they wore the other guys down. I mean, when you're just bigger and stronger and you're Division I and they're not Division I, you lean on them a little bit, and all of a sudden the holes were opening up for the running back Cooper, who's electric. Had 200-plus yards, 2 touchdowns, most of those after halftime. The kid quarterback started to get some time. He made a beautiful throw on a bomb for a touchdown, put it right in the wheelhouse
of
the receiver.
That told me everything I need to know about him.
Oh, He's got the ability.
It did.
I want to say one thing, for Sean Lewis that I liked, even in the first half when it wasn't working, he's not afraid to throw deep. And I think the deep pass, although you obviously can't use it all the time, is the best play in football.
Yeah.
The reason, because even if it doesn't work, it works in opening up other things. It put it in the mind of a defensive back that you might go deep, and that's got to open other things up.
Start playing for that and leave something a little shorter open.
Yeah. So, and their defense made two plays. Our guy, Dale Sean Staley.
I was just about to bring him up. He looks good.
He looked good. He intercepted one in the end zone that got called back for a penalty, but they had two defensive scores. Anyway, they scored 42 points in the second half. So
it's so demoralizing for a team, especially a visiting team who's not as good as the team, when they come out of the half, you're up 6-3, and then all of a sudden it's like 24-10 because there was two defensive touchdowns, an offensive touchdown in there somewhere.
Yeah, the Aztecs, you can see what the vision is, which I like. And you know what? The notion that they're going to play fast, that's not hype. Tony, they don't huddle and they don't mess around. I mean, they get a pass complete. They run to the line. They look like they're in the 2-minute drill for a lot of the game. So they really are playing fast. It's pretty fun to watch.
Sounds exhausting.
And for the other guys, I mean, you talk about why they won the game.
Yeah.
They won the game. The other team completely wore out. So it was a good start. We'll see a lot more against Oregon State this week. But I was excited
I did see that news. That was a little disappointing. Pac-12 in... The
Mountain West still can't figure out any way to put together a schedule, so they're going to remain the Pac-2, and we're going to remain the Mountain West.
What's the point? Pac-2? Come on.
They didn't want to do it.
You're holding on to something that's not there.
It sounded like they want the freedom to be able to...
leave at the moment's notice.
Just in case things shake up
again. And I think the Mountain West wants to at least get them to commit to something if they're going to do it.
I would agree.
So I think that's the problem right now. But, yeah, good start for the Aztecs. Good start. Good weekend for the Padres. They took 3 out of 4. When we come back, Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, the latest on baseball from him as Gwynn and Chris rolls on.
First of all, shout out to Baja Ricks. They hooked us up, brought some great food in here for us today. Make sure you go there before Padre game if you can. It's a great place.
Rick's been down there in the gas lamp for years and years. And a good friend of mine, he still is a big hockey fan, but really supported me and the Gulls when I worked for them. That's how long Rick and Baja Ricks has been around. Started in Bonita. And now he's in the gas lamp right there by Petco Park. So make sure you check out Baja Ricks. They got some pretty good food, I must say.
Yes, we've enjoyed quite a bit of it here today.
So some of us following the rules and some of us not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The rules say that he gave us like some shrimps. He gave us some steak. He gave us a bunch of great stuff, some chicken. Scraby says you can't eat the fish in here.
No. Well,
but
okay.
You can eat the steak, the rice, the beans, the chicken. But what, I'm not supposed to take a bite of shrimp, which is sitting right there.
No.
That was the only.
Here's the thing.
The only rule I broke.
I said seafood, by the way.
Yes, you did.
And you and shrimp is seafood.
Yes.
I also then amended that because you guys were taking me too literally, and I said anything from that table outside cannot be eaten in here. And Chris continues to eat it. It's driving me insane.
It's almost like
Chris, I might start eating it again right now during the
Chris
interview
is paying
with Matt
Scraby zero attention.
Very little.
At all.
I listen to him. I got to tell you, I do. I take it under advisement, Tony.
He does not.
I take it under advisement, but, you know, I'm big enough, you know, to make my own call on that.
That is hilarious.
That didn't even come from me. It came from our boss.
Who? Who, Adam? Adam just walked in here and saw me eating the shrimp, didn't say a word. Is that true or not, Tony?
He just walked right in.
I'm actually unhappy with Adam about this. Because when
he's
I
not backing you
room,
up at all.
When I walked back in the room,
Adam
I
was
said,
literally in here having a conversation with us about Georgia, the best team in college football.
I'm enjoying a piece of shrimp, and he didn't say anything.
Right in front of him.
I walked by Adam coming back into the room, and I said, I told him not to. And Adam gave me the look of like, I know. Here he comes. Here he comes.
Oh, he's going to settle this issue.
Are you going to drop the hammer or what?
Are you going to settle this issue?
He's wagging his finger at him right now. That's hilarious.
I did say that was crazy.
Thank you.
Well,
he doesn't listen.
He doesn't. It's the craziest thing in the world.
He clearly doesn't
Ask
listen.
My wife if I listen. She'll agree with you 150%.
I'm a school follower. So when someone says, hey, food, do not eat in that room, I'm not going to eat it in the room.
Good for you.
You're not like. Never mind. I'm gonna stop right now before I go crazy.
Yeah, because you got someone you gotta call. Yes, anyway. Here, buddy.
Sorry, I got carried away.
I did hear a good story though, Chris. While we wait for Scraby to get Matt Snyder on the line, I ran into our guy Will Galvis at the game yesterday.
Oh no.
And, you know, he came down and he was, you know, thanking me for keeping him in the league. Like, for some reason, I would kick him out for no reason.
The fantasy league.
Right. And he proceeded to tell me how last year, all Scraby did was some version of how you kind of are with your team. Like, oh, this guy's going to be he's a bust. I got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Then the very next week, it'd be somebody different. He did this all the way to his championship last year.
Moaning
apparently.
And complaining.
Now, he'd come in here feeling pretty good every week. But apparently, behind the scenes in a text message group that him and Thomas and Will are in, he did a lot.
He was very
of
negative.
Very negative.
My regular season wasn't great. I think I finished 9-5.
All right, we don't really need to recap how you won it all again.
He wanted to go through the list again.
Yeah. I won my first two, then I lost one, then I picked this guy up.
We've had enough.
Yes, we
have. All right, let's get to our Gwen and Chris guest of the day. Matt Snyder joins us, CBS Sports. Matt, how are you today? Thanks for coming on.
I'm great. I was really enjoying hearing the fantasy football recap of the championship, so we can keep going with that if you want.
No, we've had plenty of listening to Scraby and his victory dance in terms of this championship.
Do you play, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I absolutely love it still. I've heard some people, like, after 10 years or so, like, oh, I got tired of it. Like, how?
I'm with you on that, man. I love fantasy football. I've dwindled down the leagues. It was getting a little ridiculous.
You're only in, like, six leagues now?
I'm in three now, so it's manageable. Matt, let's talk about these Padres, man. They finished this 18-game stretch, 10-8, where no off days. They come back home. They get Fernando back. Yesterday, they're going to get Yu Darvish back tomorrow. I mean, there aren't too many teams being able to add these kind of caliber players this late in the year.
Not in September. No, I mean, that's everything is looking really, really good. But, I mean, as you know, sometimes a bad stretch follows that. Yeah. But there are a lot of reasons for optimism. I mean, it's the lineup right now, you're really, really strong, at least 1-7. And that's pretty much all you need in the playoffs. If you look at the rotation, you could build a really strong 1-4 rotation for the playoffs, back into the bullpen, and not just the three big names. Like, you could go 4 or 5. Again, that's probably all you need in the playoffs. Not the deepest team in the world past those things, but you're talking about the playoffs right now at this point, and don't have to be deep in the playoffs. You need to have power guys that you can fill in the lineup every single day with table setters in front of them. You need lockdown bullpen arms, 4 or 5 of them. You need a good playoff rotation. It looks like they check every single box.
We all hope you're correct. Matt Snyder is with us from CBS Sports. Matt, where do you come down on a player the likes of Luis Arraez? In talking to you, I know that you're not all about analytics, and I think that's one of the reasons, you know, among others, we like having you on, but you definitely include analytics in your projections and what you think about. And the analytics say Arise is barely better than some replacement guy off the street. We watch this guy play every day and get two hits and win games. To me, he's the greatest argument against analytics, maybe in the game.
I think that you need to have a well-rounded lineup in order to try to be, and nobody's ever slump-proof, but in order to try to be as slump-proof as possible, I think that let's just go, I'll use an example of Adam Dunn was, I thought, by many old-school baseball people, incredibly underrated. You know, you're going to get your 40 home runs every year. He took a ton of walks, and despite all the strikeouts, he's a very productive offensive player. But you couldn't build your entire lineup out of Adam Dunn.
Right.
And by the same token, I think that if you had an entire lineup out of Arraez, probably wouldn't end up being that productive. But how about a mix of all different types of hitters to diversify your offense to try to be as slump-proof as possible? Let's have some Thunder in the middle who might not necessarily have a high batting average and might strike out a lot. that's okay as long as I can even it out with a guy like Arise at the top of the order. I like the diversity in there. So I think that you can have all different kinds of productive players, and he does have kind of an empty batting average, but when you're hitting .314 and you hardly ever strike out and you've got all that thunder behind you, I don't think that's even close to being a negative. In fact, I think it's a positive.
You know, what you just described there, Matt, is really how lineups were put together really all the way through the 90s and maybe the early 2000s before analytics kind of took over and we started to see the experimentation of maybe a whole lineup of Anup Duns or a whole lineup of...
Yeah.
It's been centered around slug and on base. But that is really how lineups were constructed for a large part of baseball. And I say that to ask you, when you look at the Padres lineup and you talk about diversifying your offense, you see as just as many games as I do across the league. Do the Padres have the most diverse lineup in baseball, you think?
Maybe. I mean, I'm thinking of just the other contenders.
Who else are you thinking about?
I kind of thought about the Dodgers a little bit. I know there's a lot of power there, but like Ohtani and Betts are totally different hitters than Freddie Freeman. And Freddie Freeman is not really at this point even a traditional power hitter. And then they've got Teoscar in the middle and like Will Smith, not necessarily a power hitter. Max Muncy can be like low batting average, but high home runs.
Yeah.
It seems pretty diverse throughout that lineup, even though you do have a lot of guys who hit a lot of home runs at the top. You don't really have an Arise type, but they seem pretty well-rounded.
That's fair.
I don't really think the Phillies necessarily are, but I don't know that it's a bad thing. I mean, they've got a lot of really good hitters. So that's another thing that, like, yeah, at the end of the day, if you can't diversify it as much as possible, just get a bunch of productive hitters.
Just have some bangers. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Snyder's with us. Matt, looking around the rest of the National League, there's one team that I don't think any of us in San Diego are paying any attention to. We certainly are looking at the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, because we're battling with them head-to-head. The Phillies, the Braves have our attention because they're the Braves. How about the Milwaukee Brewers? Yeah, they've won 6 in a row, followed by 5 in a row, followed by Willy Adames homering almost every night. I know Yelich, when he went out for the year, I think everybody dismissed the Brewers. You know, I don't know that the Padres will match up with Milwaukee, but what are we looking at if that ends up happening?
A bunch of guys who have rallied around the concept that nobody believes in us, and it just seems to be working. I mean, we're going on almost a year.
Yeah.
Because last year in October, they found out Brandon Woodruff is going to be out for all of 2024. And then it was kind of a foregone conclusion that they were going to trade Corbin Burns, and they did. And then in spring training, Devin Williams, all-world closer, goes down with an injury. And it's like, man, how much more can these guys take? They might end up last place in the Central, even though we thought, you know, the last place team in the Central is probably going to be the best last place team. But still, you know, and then you're looking at Freddie Peralta, their third ace, along with Woodruff and Burns, hasn't really had an ace season. Now Yelich is out for the season, and good grief, it just doesn't matter. I mean, it's William Contreras having a great offensive season behind the plate, you know, like you said, with Adames with the power hitting. But, hey, Jackson Chourio right now, these last 6 weeks or so, is really showing that he could be a superstar. And he's only 20 years old, but he's almost kind of already taken the mantle of Yelich's role in that offense. And, gosh, he's been unbelievable. Don't know if he can break through the top two in Rookie of the Year. Because, as you guys know, there are two really, really good ones. But he's at least solidified third place right now. And he has been a big, big difference maker ever since they lost Yelich.
Definitely a guy that I've noticed. And I brought his name up a couple weeks ago because at that time, I don't know that Jackson had kind of put the separation that he started to kind of put himself in. But you're right. He might be tough to break that top two in the NL Rookie of the Year. I got to ask you, in terms of MVP, and it's not, these two guys aren't in the same league together, but they are having tremendous years. Shohei Ohtani is on the cusp of doing 50-50. Never been done.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is in another world right now. He's in leading in two of the top three Triple Crown categories. He's a little bit behind on the average. I mean, when you look at these 2 years, who, and listen, I as a baseball guy, am just enjoying the two seasons. But if you know, we're here in the sake of radio right now, so I have to ask you, which of the two seasons is better in your mind? If he gets to 50-50, let's say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
You just gave him a story idea, Tony. I think that's a column.
No, I actually, as he was saying that last year, my editor was like, hey, you know what we should do after the season is if there was a Major League Baseball MVP, who would win it between Ohtani and Acuna? And I did an article on that. And right as Tony was saying that entire question, I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to do that at the end of this year, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm inclined to go with the 50-50, I think.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play the field.
How much did that matter?
Gosh, it's just, I don't know if it matters a ton, but Judge has actually made himself into a respectable center fielder in terms of range for his size, and he has an absolute cannon of an arm, so nobody ever tries to run on him. That feels like it matters a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, that's really, really tough. Yeah, I don't know. I was of two minds during the entire question. I was going in all different directions. It's like, in addition to, like, I'm going to have to write this article again, I also thought, you know, it would be kind of fun because it looks like both MVP races are kind of sewn up. Even if Soto and Witt are within the ballpark of Judge, the NL side, it's sewn up.
Yeah.
But if we had the MLB MVP, we would have a ton of arguing in front of us, and that might be fun. But then I was like, oh, man. By the end of the month, it would be excruciating. It would be tired of it. So, yeah, I don't know. My mind was racing all over the place on that. I think I'm on the Ohtani side, but it's so, so close.
That's where I'm at. I'm at the 50-50. And that's coming from a dude who loves defense.
I know, because you brought up the fact about his fielding. Matt, leave it up to me to be not the only one in the country to ask, but maybe the only guy to think as much as I do about the White Sox, because I love when records are set on the other side as well. And I'm looking at them. If they can go 9-14, which certainly seems doable, they would be 40-122, which would then officially make them worse than the 62 Mets. How are we going to remember these guys? Somebody wrote the other day, their slugging percentage as a team is lower than Zach Greinke's career slugging percentage, and he was a pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible how bad, and they've lost 10 in a row again.
Yeah, I think of the Bull Durham line when they're in the locker room and he's yelling at the players and he says, like, what was the record, like 8-16? And he went, how did we ever win 8? When you said 9-14 and you said, is that doable? I thought you meant it from the other side. And in my head, I was like, there's no way they can win 9. There's no way. It's unbelievable. I think to kind of put it in context, I saw this morning somebody post on social media that they had the three longest losing streaks this season in Major League Baseball, and the third longest one was going on right now.
Yep.
And I look at the standings, I look at the scoreboard every single day. I do picks on a show called Early Edge that we do on Sportsline. I had no idea they had an 11-game losing streak. I'm just used to seeing them lose every day, and I've gotten so numb to it, I didn't even realize they were in double digits. I mean, if you would have went back and said, hey, when's the last time they won? I think then I would have realized, oh, man, yeah, they're on a losing streak, aren't they? But that's where we are with this team. It's somebody that looks every single day at every team, didn't even process that they had an 11-game losing streak going on.
Yeah, it's tough to watch, man. And
they're the worst team in my lifetime, and I'm proud to see them.
Yeah. Well, and here's what's weird. Here's what's weird about that. We've seen a lot of historically bad teams in the last few years. Orioles, the Astros before they got good. Obviously, we all remember that Tigers team from 2003, I believe it was. All those teams were losing by design. They were losing on purpose.
Right.
The franchise was resetting. The White Sox didn't get here that way. They won the division in 2021, and they had a young foundation, and everything just completely fell apart on them. And it's been bad management. It's not like they had good management that fell apart, but it's just uncanny to me that of all these teams that were trying on purpose to lose a lot of games to get a higher draft pick and restock the system, they held on to Luis Robert this year, the trade deadline. They held on to Garrett Crochet. They're not tanking, and they're still the worst team ever.
Yeah, no, that's the tough part.
That's what I like, baby, an impressive run.
that's the tough part is they haven't got here like everybody else, and they don't seem to have any direction even now as we
get
to the end, and that's the tough part if you're a Chicago White Sox fan. As always, Matt, appreciate you coming on, talking some baseball with us. Sorry I broke your brain with that MVP question.
No, it was very interesting. I'm actually looking forward to sorting through it eventually. Thank you for that.
We'll definitely have you back on after you get sorted through. We appreciate you coming on.
All right. Take
Thanks,
care.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, as always, a good one. Let's get to break. When we come back, we've got the Daily Gambit. It includes one of your favorites, Jackson Merrill. We'll explain on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.